Welcome to the SK Wealth Management Solutions and Knowledge Podcast. My name is Evan Raynone. I'm a certified financial planner here at SK Wealth Management, where we take an integrated approach to financial planning and investment management to improve your financial lives. Today, I'm joined by Matt Neeland, our Chief Investment Officer, to discuss indirect indexing. So direct indexing has been around for over 30 years, as a finite number of firms specialize in this specific service. But over the past few years, it's been a growing interest for investors, and up until now, has traditionally catered to private banking clients, large asset owners, and required higher investment minimums and only available through specific advisor relationships. However, thanks to the continued democratization of technology, the decreasing costs of maintaining and managing a direct index account, along with many major brokerages offering zero commission stock and ETF trading, along with fractional share trading, direct indexing is starting to become more advantageous and gaining in popularity for investors and financial planners. Recently, firms like BlackRock, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs have acquired major direct indexing players such as Parametric, Aperio, and Folio. And coincidentally, Vanguard made its first ever acquisition in its first in 46 years last year by buying a direct indexing provider called Just Invest. Investment customization, flexibility continues to be the forefront of differentiation when managing money and sprinkling some potential tax advantages, and the service sounds pretty darn good and appealing. Matt, why don't you kick things off and discuss what exactly is direct indexing?
Think of direct indexing as an additional tool or concept that allows us to further customize a portfolio. So let's take a step back. So what is it and how does it work? Direct indexing is the, instead of owning a share in a pooled investment vehicle like an ETF or a mutual fund that has a broad-based exposure to an index, such as the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ as examples. With direct indexing, the investor directly owns the individual company's stock in the portfolio. It's essentially replicating an index and reverse engineering by owning the securities that make up the index. You get the same broad-based exposure, but can customize what the index providers are offering. So for instance, you could buy an index fund, and we'll use the S&P 500 as an example, and you hold that one security that gives you exposure to the S&P 500. With direct indexing, what you would do in the basis form is buy the 500 stocks and the weighting of those 500 stocks that make up the index. But unlike ETFs and mutual funds that don't allow for customization, building personal indexes make it possible for us to create low-cost, index-based portfolio solutions that allow for active screens to suit clients' unique values or preferences. For example, in part of our investment strategies, we run a suite of strategies that have an ESG-centric focus. We can use direct indexing to tailor our exposure to an index that meets our or our clients' ESG criteria. Using the S&P 500, again, as an example, we can pick just the stocks in the index that adheres to our criteria. Another example is you could replicate the S&P 500, but do it by owning less than the 500 stocks that make up the index. Also, across all our strategies, we can adjust exposure to overweight or underweight sectors of an index based on our outlook or a client-specific request. We can include a focus on the highest dividend payers or low volatility stocks. It opens up a variety of ways to customize portfolios and can enhance the after-tax returns of a portfolio. Direct indexing can be an important part of an advisor's toolkit. However, I don't see it eliminating mutual funds and ETFs in our portfolio construction. I look at it as a complement to them.
So outside of the investment benefits, are there any tax advantages for implementing a direct indexing strategy to our portfolio?
That's an important component of direct indexing. We can create personalized indexes as vehicles to provide additional after-tax returns in ways not available in ETFs or mutual funds, such as tax loss harvesting individual securities, capital gains deferment, tax lot optimization, reducing unnecessary trades and tax expenses, and incorporating current holdings into an index-based portfolio. Also, you have greater control over receiving a greater percentage of qualified versus non-qualified dividends. And as a reminder, qualified dividends are taxed at a preferred rate versus non-qualified dividends being taxed at an individual's normal income tax rate. This gives us more control over a client's specific tax situation. Mutual funds and some ETFs make capital gains and income distributions at the end of the year. We have an idea of these amounts, but we have no control over the timing or the amount. Tax loss harvesting is a strategy of recognizing a loss and immediately buying a replacement. So you get to book a loss to use against gains and you don't lose market exposure. With mutual funds or ETFs, you can only implement this approach, meaning tax loss harvesting, if the whole index moves lower. Direct indexing allows us to use tax loss harvesting throughout the year on a targeted individual security basis. It allows us to create a transition plan for clients with concentrating holdings or large unrealized gains or losses.
What are some of the drawbacks then? I mean, isn't just easier just to buy an index fund or an ETF that would closely track the index?
It does take more work on our part, but not a significant amount. We've adjusted our trading system to make this process much more efficient. Some critics have said that this is another way for investment firms to generate fees. Some firms may charge higher fees, but with individual stock trading fees reduced to zero and the elimination of underlying management fees, it can be a cost saving for our clients. The adoption of fractional share trading now allows us to use direct indexing across smaller portfolios as well. You will have more holdings in your portfolio under direct indexing versus investing in an index fund or an ETF. We run tests to see the correct number of holdings needed and the composition to achieve the performance and exposure we want. But in general, you're still going to have more line items or, as I mentioned, more individual securities when you look at your portfolio. You can experience some tracking error. For people who haven't heard of the term regarding investing, tracking error is the amount of deviation in performance of an investment versus its related index. So if you buy an index fund, you expect the holdings and the performance to closely match the index. That makes sense. You expect very little tracking error or deviation. The more you customize your exposure to an index, the more potential there is for tracking error. Some tracking error can aid performance, though. Before we set the parameters in a portfolio, we measure the impact of tracking error to come up with the appropriate allocation.
In terms of performance, is an investor giving up anything by adopting these direct indexing strategies?
It's another good area that we looked at because we wanted to know all the functions. It's nice to have a new tool to play with, but it's not necessarily great if it doesn't benefit the client in the long run. If you look at the direct indexing as a whole, if you do not have rules or controls on how to implement a direct indexing approach, you can have very different outcomes versus an underlying index. Those outcomes could be good or bad. It's just important to test ahead of time to understand what the potential outcomes would be in different environments. Referring back to the S&P 500 index as an example, if you had excluded energy, it could have been an option. You could have said, I'm not going to have energy sector included in my portfolio. That's the kind of customization that I wanted. But then lo and behold comes 2022 when energy prices skyrocket and the energy sector becomes the best performing category. That is an example of things to think about and things to plan out before you build your custom index. Most people do not think about after-tax returns when they think about performance. But studies have shown you can enhance after-tax returns up to 1 to 2% annually by incorporating tax-efficient trading strategies. And that really adds up over time. It can have a significant impact on performance. Active tax management is one of the top reasons direct indexing has gained popularity.
Let's talk about how these direct indexing strategies will fit in someone's overall portfolio. Is there any research on how much is recommended an investor should allocate towards their portfolio or to these types of strategies?
There is no general rule regarding how much a client's allocation strategy should include a direct indexing approach. It really will vary on a specific situation for the client themselves, their financial situation, their specific holdings, and what they're looking to accomplish or what their specific desires to have within their portfolio. I think it makes most sense to begin by using it versus investing in an index fund. Looking at an example where if you had an S&P 500 index fund in your portfolio, switching that over and building a direct indexing approach to gain exposure to that index makes a lot of sense where you can enhance the return potential of that, particularly the after-tax return potential of that investment strategy. But I do see the potential for more uses down the road. The customized approach is very intriguing for enhancing how we can build client portfolios. I think customization in general is becoming more in vogue in the investment world. And as clients become more educated and learn about things or have a desire to express their views through their investment portfolios, direct indexing can play a very important and efficient role in doing that. You and I have been looking at this for a while. We tested it in our trading system and have been successfully implementing it. It's a very exciting change for us. Those are very crucial steps to confirm the validity of direct indexing into our portfolio construction and trading. And overall, our integrated approach incorporating financial planning into our investment decision making gives us a unique position to work with our clients to understand their individual tax situations and suggest how direct indexing can help. We now think of direct indexing as one of our many important tools to help clients achieve their financial objectives.
For any other clients that have questions more specifically, kind of abroad and more focused on direct indexing that this podcast didn't incorporate, feel free to reach out to Matt or myself and we can cover more direct indexing strategies. But we have been and are looking into implementing these more across the board for our clients' portfolios, depending on their financial objectives and needs. Thank you all for listening. listening to this episode of the SK Wealth Management Solutions and Knowledge Podcast. You can subscribe and listen to all of our podcasts on all of the various podcast sites and our website, skwealth.com.